Now we move on to non-current assets. Property, plant, and equipment are tangible assets used in the production of goods and services. Property, plant, and equipment includes land and buildings, machinery and equipment, furniture, and natural resources. Under IFRS, property, plant, and equipment can be reported using the cost model or the revaluation model. Under U.S. GAAP, only the cost model is allowed. Under the cost model, property, plant, and equipment are reported at amortized cost, which is historical cost minus accumulated depreciation, amortization, depletion, and impairment losses. Historical cost includes the purchase price plus any cost necessary to get the asset ready for use, such as delivery and installation costs. There are several depreciation methods, such as straight line and declining balance methods, used to allocate the cost to the income statement over time. Thus, the balance sheet and income statement are affected by the depreciation method and related estimates, such as salvage value and useful life of assets. Also, under the cost model, property, plant, and equipment must be tested for impairment. An asset is impaired if its carrying value exceeds the recoverable amount. Under IFRS, the recoverable amount of an asset is the greater of fair value less any selling costs or the asset's value in use. Value in use is the present value of the asset's future cash flow stream. If impaired, the asset is written down to its recoverable amount and a loss is recognized in the income statement. Loss recoveries are allowed under IFRS, but not under U.S. GAAP. Under the revaluation model, property, plant, and equipment are reported at fair value less any accumulated depreciation. Changes in fair value are reflected in shareholders' equity and may be recognized in the income statement in certain circumstances. Investment property, under IFRS, includes assets that generate rental income or capital appreciation. U.S. GAAP does not have a specific definition of investment property. Under IFRS, investment property can either be reported at amortized cost, just like property, plant, and equipment, or fair value. Under the fair value model, any change in fair value is recognized in the income statement. Intangible assets are non-monetary assets that lack physical substance. Securities are not considered intangible assets. Intangible assets are either identifiable or unidentifiable. Identifiable intangible assets can be acquired separately or are the result of rights or privileges conveyed to their owner. Examples of identifiable intangibles are patents, trademarks, and copyrights. Unidentifiable intangible assets cannot be acquired separately and may have an unlimited life. The best example of an unidentifiable intangible asset is goodwill. Under IFRS, identifiable intangibles that are purchased can be reported on the balance sheet using the cost model or the revaluation model, although the revaluation model can only be used if an active market for the intangible asset exists. Both models are basically the same as the measurement models used for property, plant, and equipment. Under U.S. GAAP, only the cost model is allowed. Except for certain legal costs, intangible assets that are created internally, such as research and development costs, are expensed as incurred under U.S. GAAP. Under IFRS, a firm must identify the research stage, the discovery of new scientific or technical knowledge, and the development stage, using research results to plan or design products. Under IFRS, the firm must expense costs incurred during the research stage, but can capitalize costs incurred during the development stage. Finite-lived intangible assets are amortized over their useful lives and tested for impairment in the same way as property, plant, and equipment. The amortization method and useful life estimates are reviewed at least annually. Intangible assets with infinite lives are not amortized, but are tested for impairment at least annually. Under IFRS and U.S. GAAP, all of the following should be expensed as incurred: startup and training costs, administrative overhead, advertising and promotion costs, relocation and reorganization costs, and termination costs. Some analysts choose to eliminate intangible assets for analytical purposes. However, analysts should consider the value to the firm of each intangible asset before making any adjustments. Goodwill is the excess of purchase price over the fair value of the identifiable net assets, that is, assets minus liabilities acquired in a business acquisition. Acquirers are often willing to pay more than the fair value of the target's identifiable net assets because the target may have assets that are not reported on its balance sheet. For example, the target's reputation and customer loyalty certainly have value. However, the value is not quantifiable. Also, the target may have research and development assets that remain off balance sheet because of current accounting standards. Finally, part of the acquisition price may reflect perceived synergies from the business combination. For example, the acquirer may be able to eliminate duplicate facilities and reduce payroll as a result of the acquisition. Goodwill is only created in a purchase acquisition. Internally generated goodwill is expensed as incurred. Goodwill is not amortized but must be tested for impairment at least annually. If impaired, goodwill is reduced and a loss is recognized in the income statement. The impairment loss does not affect cash flow. As long as goodwill is not impaired, it can remain on the balance sheet indefinitely. Since goodwill is not amortized, firms can manipulate net income upward by allocating more of the acquisition price to goodwill and less to the identifiable assets. The result is less depreciation and amortization expense, resulting in higher net income. Accounting goodwill should not be confused with economic goodwill. Economic goodwill derives from the expected future performance of the firm, while accounting goodwill is the result of past acquisitions. When computing ratios, analysts should eliminate goodwill from the balance sheet and goodwill impairment charges from the income statement for comparability. Also, analysts should evaluate future acquisitions in terms of the price paid relative to the earning power of the acquired assets. Financial instruments are contracts that give rise to both a financial asset of one entity and a financial liability or equity instrument of another entity. Financial instruments can be found on the asset side and the liability side of the balance sheet. Financial assets include investment securities, such as stocks and bonds, and also include derivatives, loans, and receivables. Financial instruments are measured at historical cost, amortized cost, or fair value. Financial assets measured at cost include unquoted equity investments where fair value cannot be reliably measured, and loans to and receivables from other entities. Financial assets measured at amortized cost are known as held-to-maturity securities. Held-to-maturity securities are debt securities acquired with the intent to be held to maturity. Amortized cost is equal to the original issue price minus any principal payments plus any amortized discount or minus any amortized premium minus any impairment losses. Subsequent changes in market value are ignored. Financial assets measured at fair value, also known as mark-to-market accounting, include trade securities, available-for-sale securities, and derivatives. Trading securities are debt and equity securities acquired with the intent to profit over the near term. Trading securities are reported on the balance sheet at fair value. Unrealized gains and losses, changes in market value before the securities are sold, are recognized in the income statement. Unrealized gains and losses are also known as holding period gains and losses. Derivative instruments are treated the same as trading securities. Available for sale securities are debt and equity securities that are not expected to be held to maturity or traded in the near term. Like trading securities, available for sale securities are reported on the balance sheet at fair value. However, any unrealized gains and losses are not recognized in the income statement, but are reported in other comprehensive income as a part of shareholders' equity. For all three classifications of securities, dividend and interest income and realized gains and losses, the actual gains or losses when the securities are sold, are recognized in the income statement. Now, we can complete our discussion of measurement bases by looking at non-current liabilities. Long-term financial liabilities include bank loans, notes payable, bonds payable, and derivatives. If the financial liabilities are not issued at face amount, the liabilities are usually reported on the balance sheet at amortized cost. Amortized cost is equal to the issue price minus any principal payments, plus any amortized discount or minus any amortized premium. In some cases, financial liabilities are reported at fair value. Examples include held-for-trading liabilities, derivative liabilities, and non-derivative liabilities with exposures hedged by derivatives. Deferred tax liabilities are amounts of income taxes payable in future periods as a result of taxable temporary differences. Deferred tax liabilities are created when the amount of income tax expense recognized in the income statement is greater than taxes payable. This can occur when expenses or losses are tax deductible before they are recognized in the income statement. A good example is when a firm uses an accelerated depreciation method for tax purposes and the straight line method for financial reporting. Deferred tax liabilities are also created when revenues or gains are recognized in the income statement before they are taxable. For example, a firm often recognizes the earnings of a subsidiary before any distributions of dividends are made. Eventually, deferred tax liabilities will reverse when the taxes are paid.